Welcome to Foot Weekly.
We've got a cheeky fix for those pesky 5-game injuries.
And do we really have to play 10 games to get that loyalty bonus?
Can goalkeepers finally get red cards?
We finish up with an informed impression of the 82-rated Balotelli.
And as always, we'll talk through the team of the week as well as our dynamite discards. So, we've had a couple of red stripes, a few games of Foot Champions. Welcome to episode 1 of Foot Weekly. I'm Horace. This is Ben.
Hello.
And let's dive right in. How many wins are you on?
I've got a tidy 9 wins, and I've played 16 games. What about you?
You know full well that I managed to royally fuck up, and I didn't qualify. Now, I do feel I need to defend myself a little bit. I did only enter 3 qualification tournaments, but it's still pretty unforgivable, really. To be fair, I'm not alone in having screwed up slightly this week. I seem to recall you had a bit of an incident with a certain right back.
I did list a certain right back for 5k, it has to be said. That certain right back might be Hector Bellerin, who's worth about 22. I've got to be honest, I'm still not quite over it, so if we could just move on, then what have you got next?
For Champions, I'm sad not to be in it myself, but I have played a bit on your account.
Yeah, what did you think?
Yeah, it's been interesting. Not as horrendously sweaty as I was expecting, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, we were discussing earlier and saying that maybe the standard is only say what you get in the second round of the tournament.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like every game is a cup final. It's which is quite a nice thing about the mode. You've got 40 games to play and the quality of your opposition isn't increasing each game. It's just an always fairly random, decent player you're going to come up against.
Yeah, that is really nice. I mean, you get to the latter stages of a tournament and it's almost like you're clinging on. But actually, you go into another game and you could be playing someone many times worse than the last game.
And I mean, in terms of the format itself, do you think you're going to manage to play all 40 matches?
Sure, I'll probably not be able to play that many, to be honest. But I think I should be able to reach a decent number of wins.
Yeah, do you have a particular prize tier in mind?
So I'm looking at Gold 3, I think, is realistic. Considering I'm not going to be able to play 40 games, I would have thought that's 2 mega packs, 1 rare players pack, and 30k coins, which is really quite good.
Yeah, I mean, the rewards are huge. Like Gold 1, which is 25 wins, something along those lines, looks really... I mean, you get 2 100k packs, that's 48 rare players and 50k coins. That's a huge amount of coins and players that are probably going to be coming into the market early next week.
We're not quite sure exactly when the packs are going to arrive for people or the coins. But you would have thought with the kind of balance between coins and packs, maybe it won't have as massive effect on the price of players.
Yeah, true. I suppose you're balancing out the new players coming to the market with quite a large influx of coins as well. So potentially things will even out and we won't notice it too much. What could be interesting to bear in mind is maybe we'll see informs being a bit more common this year.
Yeah, definitely. And I think towards the latter stage of the game when, you know, packs aren't really being opened, people will still be playing Foot Champions and that'll actually keep some of the informs coming into the market at that point, which will be quite good.
Yeah, definitely. So have you noticed anything new about the gameplay up in the lofty heights of Champions?
I mean, obviously, there have been quite a lot of changes to the gameplay this year, but there was something which stood out particularly earlier today in a game that I played. Big through ball came to Vardy, of course, running in behind. My goalkeeper came rushing out and just absolutely wiped Vardy out. And I was surprised to find he was subsequently red carded, which has, as far as I know, never been possible on Foot, or possibly even in Ultimate, in FIFA in general. I think, was it possible offline?
Offline it's been possible, but okay. That's the first time I've ever heard of that being possible online.
And it really, really caused a bit of a problem, because I didn't have a goalkeeper on the bench. Obviously, it's never been an issue before to do that, and it was just a waste of a slot on the bench. So, basically, I had to play Benatia in goal, and I ended up losing about 8-2. So, top tip. Especially if you're doing something like Foot Champions, a tournament, it would have been way worse if it had been a tournament final. Make sure you put a goalkeeper on your bench. I mean, I just rotate 2 teams, so just put the goalkeeper from the other team on the bench.
yeah, I mean, that's something I've never thought about in the past. And a lot of the time, particularly with the injuries coming in, I've been thinking, oh, I'll make sure I've got plenty of attacking players on the bench because my attacking players are the ones that tend to get injured. But who knew? Goalkeepers, make sure you've got a spare.
So that's my top gameplay nugget. What have you picked up on?
I mean, it's not particularly insightful, but I've really enjoyed the variety of finishing this year compared to previous years. I mean, in the past, you can, in a lot of situations, you'll go for a little finesse around the keeper, and almost regardless of which player you're using, you've got about an 80% chance of scoring. Whereas this year, you really have to think a lot more about whether you're going to go for a low slotted finish, power it across the keeper. I've really enjoyed the kind of double tap shot across to the far post. And those feel really effective, particularly with players with very high finishing. And you really notice when a player has good finishing this year, I find.
Yeah, that's definitely true. And I've really found the finesse shot trait to be incredibly important.
Here we go.
Yeah, as a lot of people probably know, I'm really into my finesse shots. And mainly into the finesse shot trait, because especially this year, when finishing isn't quite as effective, I think it's really, really useful. And yeah, I've been a big fan for a long time. Got it tattooed on various parts of my anatomy.
He really does. You don't want to see. To quickly move it on to something a bit more PG-13, what are your thoughts on custom tactics this year?
Well, they're not nearly as exciting as finesse shots, but they are really important. And they've also made it so that they're much more easily accessible, I suppose. You can customize it from the Y or triangle button menu on squads. They apply to the individual squad. You don't have to set up the custom tactic in the challenge of the team of the week, and then it disappear when you exit ultimate team, which you used to have to do. So I didn't really bother. But now it's on the options menu for the squads. Just massive, massive, massive positive.
Yeah, it's been usable in the game for years, but really, really awkward to use, whereas now it's fully integrated. Of course, EA couldn't do something completely smoothly. On the chance creation sliders, the shooting and crossing are the wrong way round. No news yet on when that's going to be fixed. And of course, EA probably won't tell us when they do fix it. But I've really enjoyed just trying out the different possibilities. I mean, tiki-taka football, much more feasible. Defensively, you can narrow your team down, get your fullbacks tucking in, which prevents a lot of the long through balls through the middle that are so popular in Ultimate Team with Ultimate Team players. It's really made a huge difference how I've played the game. And of course, this was an update that EA didn't really talk about at all. An update that they did release, but sort of smothered with other news because it came out about the time that the web app was released, EA Early Access was about to come out. What EA finally did was they told us exactly which stats chemistry cells affect. And we had a bit of a look at those, and some really interesting stuff has come out of it.
Yeah, it's pretty shocking stuff, I suppose. The kind of differences in boosts that you get to different stats depending on the chem style, the quality of the different sort of stat boosts, and it just looks like it could be really, really crucial this year. I mean, originally I thought, you know, the three arrows on a stat for something like Sniper, where you'd have +3 on the shooting, it looked like, +3 on the dribbling, actually looks like in-game you can get +15 boosts to individual stats, and that's absolutely massive. If you think of that on a bronze or something, that's like changing 60 finishing to 75 finishing, and that's just absolutely crazy.
Yeah, it's a massive difference. And yeah, one of the really bizarre things that came out of this is you can have two different chemistry styles, say Sniper and Finisher, which both give a 3-point boost to shooting, but Sniper gives you +15 positioning and finishing, whereas it doesn't touch long shots or shot power, whereas Finisher gives you 15 on long shots and shot power and a much smaller boost to your finishing. So what appeared to be equal boosts are actually very extreme boosts, but quite focused. So it's you really need to pay attention to which chemistry styles you're using.
I mean, the finisher thing is very strange because the finisher suggests high finishing. But yeah, actually, it only adds 5 and the sniper adds 15.
But lots of the Ultimate Team websites have now got inbuilt features where you can see the effects of different chemistry styles on players. So I'd really recommend just having a look on there, playing around with it.
Yeah, I mean, a classic one we played around with was Abraham, adding Sentinel to Abraham, the Argentinian defender in the Bundesliga, plays for Eintracht Frankfurt.
Yeah.
Something like that. And he got basically went from being having really average defending and physical, sort of like 76, wasn't it? And 81 pace. But then you have this 81 pace, you add Sentinel, which boosts defending and physical, and he's got like 90 something defending, 90 something physical, and you're talking really high, good strength, and really, really good tackling.
Yeah, he basically turns into a team of the year defender in terms of his in-game stat, particularly in light of the fact that informs until one point last year weren't even getting chemistry boosts.
So really, there's no doubt in my mind that last year, had you had the Abraham that we have this year, put Sentinel on him, he'd probably have better stats than many Team of the Year defenders, which is just crazy.
Yeah, so it's no surprise that EA sort of did their best to smother this info coming out with all the hype around the new game.
And it's worth noting that there's a few things that came out of that as well, which people might not have picked up on. Stamina is unaffected by chemistry.
Yeah.
But stamina heavily affects certain physical attributes. Acceleration, agility, jumping, strength, and some mental attributes, reactions and marking. But all of those things actually could be quite significant in the later stages of a game when your players are getting tired. Certainly reactions and marking, strength, jumping, all things that could really negatively affect a defender, for example.
Well, and the acceleration and agility can really affect your attacking play as well.
So actually one of the biggest things this year is not something that's new, but just something that we've finally been told real information about.
Yeah, absolutely. But moving on to things that are genuinely new, aside from Fit Champions, I've really been enjoying the squad building challenges. What I've been surprised by with squad build challenges is how frequently they've updated it. I mean, we've been getting a new live challenge every couple of days, really.
Yeah, no, that has been quite impressive. And considering how lax EA were with the tournament last year.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
how irregular absolutely they were updated. Well, they were slightly more regular last year, but certainly in previous seasons, they've been pretty lax about it. And yeah, just it is somewhat a huge improvement, I think.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting. We've had quite a mix in terms of the complexity and the requirements and the rewards, stuff like the loyal lads, where you needed, was it 7 players with loyalty from your club, with the right links, and you got 5k coins, and you could do it with fairly cheap gold players, right up to the player of the month Sterling challenge, which, I mean, the requirements for that, you're probably looking at an investment of 30k, maybe more,
yeah,
probably.
Maybe more.
Could well be more, in fact. I mean, on the whole, I'd say they look quite good value, a lot of these challenges.
Yeah, I mean, I think, yeah, you look at even Del Piero loan item, 20 game loan on a legend. I mean, how many more games do you use a team for?
Yeah, on the whole, I would say I'd probably play with a team for 10 matches, and unless it's really, really clicking with me, and I feel like it,
certainly at this stage,
it's
anyway
perfect. At this stage, I'm looking to switch teams up really frequently. So 20 game loan, that'll last me a while if I do pick him up. Are you thinking you might go for that one?
Yeah, I might do. I think there's a bit of a problem with the Sydney FC players all being price fixed.
Yeah.
But that may change as the clock runs down on that particular SBC. But we've both done what, all the squad builder challenges now, apart from those two big ones?
I've not touched the MLS or the Liga NOS.
Oh, of course, yeah, that's also true. Yeah, that's quite a commitment.
Yeah,
I'm not so keen on the Jonas card just because the lack of pace, strength, or skill moves.
Yeah, I mean, 5-star weak foot. It's got good shooting.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. I'm not particularly fussed about those, and just making 20 different squads is going to take a while. I know you get rewards for each one, but no, I did really enjoy the hybrid leagues, hybrid nations, and hybrid leagues and nations. I didn't pack anyone brilliant. I think the best card I've got from squad build challenges so far was Barzagli, but I mean, that's he's a sort of 20-25k player, and I've definitely made money by doing all of those.
I think they are good value, especially at this stage of the season, and whether that the value relative value is adjusted as time goes by, so because EA will be aware of how prices and
Yeah, that's interesting.
Go down in Banner U as the
whether the
sort of season goes on. But also the other thing is actually with squad build challenges, it is creating a market for the lower end players.
Yeah, non-rare golds are. I remember being on the web app pre-release, and in most of the major leagues, you could pick up non-rare golds, bad goalkeepers, bad defenders, and a couple of midfielders for sort of. I mean, if you searched 400 by now, there'd be a handful. Mm. Whereas now, most non-rare golds are going for 800 plus, and I think a lot of that demand is probably squad build challenges.
Yeah, yeah. And I think there's an argument to say, sort of a top tip would be make sure you're doing the challenge, buying the players at times when they're not overpriced, because on like Tuesday, for example, prices were a lot higher. And if there aren't lots of packs being opened at the time, then you don't tend to get the non-rare players that have just been listed up to people to bid on.
Yeah, very much so.
So there are certain times which are better, like Wednesday evenings and things, Fridays.
Yeah, definitely. Our top tip on squad build challenges that we've realised is obviously for some of them you need loyalty on your players, and it's quite unlikely you'll have the exact for say the ultimate challenge in the hybrid leagues and nations where you need 9 nations across 7 different leagues. It's very unlikely that you will have packed a combination of players that fits that challenge. So you need to get loyalty on them, which requires playing 10 matches, which is quite a big time commitment.
Especially with a team with shocking chemistry.
I mean, on that one, that example specifically, you've got sort of 82 chemistry or 81 chemistry if you've got 11 players the setup without loyalty. Mm. But I played a few games with that team and it was not very fun.
And I think also you've got to think that actually you're going to be buying, as you were just saying, you're going to be buying players who are not at the better end of their overall. If they're not the best player for their overall, they're just cheap for their overall, which almost always means that they're not going to be so good.
Yeah, on the whole, you're looking for players who are high overall but poor player quality, because that helps you match up with the overall requirements for the squads. Now, our tip. To get back to what I was talking about, is you can just enter offline games, single player games, and either then quit out of FIFA through dashboard on Xbox or disconnecting your console from the internet briefly.
Yeah, disconnecting is probably slightly quicker, isn't it?
Disconnecting is probably quicker because you don't have to reboot FIFA completely. You go back into FIFA, it'll say you've lost connection with EA servers, it takes you out of Ultimate Team, you sign back in, you go back in. Your players would have lost a contract, but your record and your progress in your single player competition, if you care about that, won't be affected. But your players will have gained a match towards the 10 matches needed for loyalty. So you do that 10 times and you can get loyalty on a full squad within about 15, 20 minutes, as opposed to the several hours it would take to play 10 full matches.
Yeah. And on top of that, if you've got any of these pesky injuries that, in my opinion, a bit of a blight on FIFA 17, which is otherwise a great game, you can just put them on the bench while you do that. No, injury.
Yeah, exactly. So any players on your subs bench and reserves won't gain fitness back by doing this, but they will get matches taken off their injury duration, which is very useful, I found. I had a couple of 4-match injuries while I was getting loyalty on one of my squad build challenge squads, and I was able to get rid of those without having to compromise the quality of the teams I was using for actual online play.
And I think the other interesting thing to talk about with squad build challenges is what is EA's motivation, I wonder, because I can't see how it is a particularly big money earner for EA.
I suppose, I mean, yeah, I agree, because it's basically making Ultimate Team more feasible and enjoyable as a free-to-play experience. Yeah. I mean, it lets you open packs and a wide variety of packs. Sort of you get, so there was a 50k pack, there's an all-rare pack, there's lots of prime players packs, which is 12 players, mostly gold, including 6 rares. There are a lot of good packs you can get from these without investing any real money in the game, whereas previously you pretty much would have had to invest real money to do that, you know, remotely, to get those packs in a way that was remotely worth it, because the coin prices are often outrageous.
Yeah, and I mean, even there's the gold upgrade where you stick gold 11, players into
11 non-rare golds into a squad.
Are there any rares in there?
I don't think so. No.
Well, either way, it is like you can pop those players in. You can even pop players in that you get as a reward for doing that one. So you get, because you get two rare golds, and that is just like not that bad. They're untradeable, but
and you get the value, two rare golds.
The value you can get, you know, you might get a player worth like, especially this stage, like 5-6k. No problem.
Yeah, no, it's absolutely, it's really nice to be able to cycle your players like that. And yeah, to get back to EA's motivation there, I suppose it could be they've had a lot of stick over the last couple of years for FIFA being the same old game or just a bit shit.
Mm.
And maybe they just want to breed a bit of goodwill in the FIFA community, get people enjoying the game, talking about it positively.
Yeah, I think I would agree to an extent, because I was lucky and I went to the playtesting for FIFA 16, which is very interesting actually, because obviously that was when Draft was being introduced, and met with one of the developers there, and we sort of had a Q&A session, and it was interesting. His big thing was, like, it was clear he was really passionate about the game, absolutely loved what they'd done with it, and it was really nice to see that. But also he did sound slightly disappointed by the lack of creativity in teams when chemistry is such fascinating part of Ultimate Team. He was kind of saying, well, people don't really use it, and you do come up against PPL teams all the time. So what I think his thought was is maybe they were thinking we'll get people more interested in how they can play with chemistry.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think that, I mean, there have been some pretty abortive attempts to do that in the past. I remember 3 or 4 years ago on the forums, they briefly did a Team of the Week chemistry challenge where you had to, when Team of the Week came out at 3 p.m, they set up a forum thread, and the first person to get the best possible chemistry setup with players from that Team of the Week got a few packs as a reward. And I actually won the first ever one of those. I think there were only about 3 or 4 in the end, because they decided it was just a bit of a, probably not really worth it. It didn't affect like enough people.
Bit of a gimmick.
But I mean, way back then, they were looking. Clearly, there are people at EA who are very interested in chemistry and like how it works. And we've always been, we've always loved making sort of funky hybrids.
Obsessive to an extent, I think.
Yeah, using hipster squads. I mean, the whole no link wasted thing became a big deal sort of last two FIFAs. People were interested in that.
And we certainly avoid using like concentrations of green links if we can. So you want your squad to look like it's been considered rather than mashed together.
There's something a bit ugly about having 5 players from the same club next to each other when you could have a much more refined set of links. And
yeah, exactly. So yeah, I mean, what we were saying about that is, yeah, it's just I think that might be part of their motivation, just kind of making a bit more chemistry to the fore of the game rather than smashing pass.
Yeah, I suppose it'll make people think about it, whether it's going to affect.
I certainly don't think it has made a huge impact.
So far, yeah, I'd say I've come up against something with some kind of BPL team in at least half the matches I've played, if not more.
I think the other thing to note is, you know, EA have kind of shot themselves in the foot if they're trying to achieve that, because the injuries are so common.
Yeah, absolutely.
You can make hybrids, they still work, but you've got this awkward thing where you can get a 4-game injury and then your player's out for 4 games, he's vital to the hybrid.
Yeah.
What do you do? Like, you have to apply a squad, an injury card, which obviously are quite expensive at the moment because.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. They've had the injury cards in the game for years, but they've not been of great value for a while because you very rarely got severe injuries before. Whereas now I've had several times I've had 2 injuries in a game. Once I had 3 injuries in a game, and it's not at all uncommon to get a 4 game injury. And if you've got a hybrid team, as Ben says, you often end up where that squad's unusable unless you use an injury card.
I mean, the best example of that was when we were at mine yesterday doing a bit of recording, and we got into a game excited to use your informed Balotelli for the first time.
Yeah, yeah.
And within about 20... It's
about 20 minutes into the game.
20 minutes into the game, so that's maybe like less than, you know, it's less than a minute or a minute into the match. He maybe touched the ball twice. He got injured.
In an Oculus challenge, and bam, 4 matches out.
And I had exactly the same thing with Moutinho yesterday evening, where I played first game with a hybrid squad, had Moutinho there, first 20 minutes with the team, got injured, had to take him off, and
yeah,
I couldn't play with the team after that.
No, it is something. I wouldn't be surprised if they tweak it in the first patch, to
Hopefully,
be honest.
Yeah.
I think it's good. I really like that you sometimes have to sub players off, because it just adds something else to Ultimate Team. It means you have to think about who's on your bench. Bronze benching, not that it's had any real value for the last few years for the most part, but that's out if you're going to be serious about wanting to try and win games.
Mm.
And I like it adds a degree of realism, but they just need to tone it down 20%, I think, 20-25%. And I think that's about enough for part one. Join us again shortly when we'll be talking Team of the Week. So, Ben, Team of the Week 3's out. Who's your top pick?
Well, I think the top pick has got to be, for me, being a bit of a wannabe skiller, it's got to be Giuliano of, was it Zenit St. Petersburg?
Yeah.
He looks really good and has some very strong stats, because he's got that double 80 shooting, passing, 83 pace, 86 dribbling, 73 physical, just very, very strong. And I think that the only problem is that his price seems to have got really hyped, as with all the ones to watch players.
Yeah, it's interesting with the ones to watch. Like, the big question is, how worth it are they going to be? Like, they're all expensive at the moment, but realistically, how many of them are going to get enough informs that they're worth the price they're going for at the moment? Giuliano is a prime example. How many people are actually going to be buying him to make teams? Because you do see Brazilian teams around, but you very rarely see Russian league teams. So I wouldn't be surprised if we've got a lot of people buying him. His price has gone up because of the hype. And come a week and a half, the people that bought him are going to be looking to shift him on, and there won't necessarily be the same demand for him anymore.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, he went up to, I think, something like 100K between the release of the Team of the Week and then the release into packs of the Team of the Week. So it just shows that a lot of it's sort of hype and speculation rather than actual demand for the player.
Yeah, yeah, I think definitely. I mean, yeah, even just his regular gold card before we even knew how ones to watch were going to work, or that he was going to be one. It was a card I was quite keen to try out, but that I thought that's one to watch in terms of being, I might pick him up further into the game when I'm trying to try out a few more obscure sides. Yeah, it is an interesting one, and it's a solid looking card. It's not a world beater at all, though.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, only sort of, this is without any chemistry boost, but 79 short passing, 84 dribbling. It's not, you know, it's not stellar, like decent long shots, but not above 80. So, yeah, I think it's a good card, but it's just not something that I'm willing to pay 50K for.
No, not at all. On the topic of ones to watch, you got informs this week. They're worth three. Mbolo, I love a strong striker, and he really fits the bill. He's got everything. But, of course, his ones to watch card is a right mid. That's not going to change position. And so this striker inform that he's got this week is only going to be in packs for a couple of days, probably. So it might be an incredibly hard one to pick up. I think that's a bit of a pity, really.
He just looks amazing. I mean, obviously, 4-star skills, 4-star weak foot, and so quick and so strong.
Yeah.
Not bad on the passing either.
Just good shot power. He's got 80 agility, strong finishing, almost 90 strength. I used his regular card right at the start. I had him in a 4-3-2-1 as a right forward. He was pretty good, and I think with a +5 to his overall, he's a scary card, really. A phenomenon with the right chem style on him.
And I think I'm right in saying that he has finesse shot trait, which, as you may already know, is my favourite trait of all time, and especially this year because of how great finesse shots are.
It makes a massive difference. I wasn't initially convinced, but over the years you have You've shown me the way, and I do agree. And he does have finesse shot. He's also got technical dribbler, which I think with the extra boost he got on this inform could really shine through, actually.
Definitely. For a large and physical player to have technical dribbler is always a huge bonus. He should feel really good on the ball.
Yeah. Other interesting picks in this Team of the Week? I think you've got
I've got my eye on
chem style special.
Yeah, actually, we'll go with the chem style special first. Bernardo Silva is my chem style pick because although his card stats don't look especially exciting, especially with sort of low 80 pace, not particularly fantastic shooting, he has got 86 dribbling and 82 passing though. But if you stick Hunter on him, he goes up to 99 acceleration without losing any points.
There's no stat wastage.
No stat wastage on through that chem style. 88 sprint speed as well. So yeah, just crazy in terms of pace. But he already has 88 agility, 86 dribbling. His finishing goes up to 90, positioning 97. Yeah, got 85 shot power. Just yeah, really good all round, and still got the good passing. So looks like with his 4-star skills, a really really nice player at a right forward slot would work really nice.
Yeah, yeah, no, definitely. He's that's one where that chem style makes a huge difference. That card turning it from a bit meh into a very tasty looking yeah. winger.
Hopefully his physical stands up to it, not the strongest, but still very nice player.
Yeah. Any other players you want to highlight?
Well, actually, it's funny because the two other players I'm going to highlight are both Portuguese. There's no particular bias, although being a fan of the skills, Portuguese always quite well stocked in that department. So you've got Jota, who actually started as a left wing, I think, or left mid, and the move to the central position is hugely significant because he's an informed Portuguese striker from FC Porto, which means that he is possibly one of the best 4-star skill strikers in the league. I think you could probably say he is. And then in terms of Portuguese strikers, I mean, unless you go for Pauleta, who's a legend, they really only have Eder, who's low-rated and non-rare, and I think Edmilson or something. I don't know. He's a non-rare striker as well. So he looks to be really, really good in terms of filling a gap.
Yeah, I mean, I think he is pretty much the only 4-star skill striker in the Liga NOS. And it's a very nice-looking card. I mean, he's 5'10", so he's not too small. He's got 69 strength, so not far from being a tank, but he won't get pushed over.
Yeah, yeah.
And his shooting stats look lovely.
Yeah, yeah, like sort of 81 finishing, like low 80s long shots, shot power, and 81 pace, roughly 81 pace, which, I mean, the combination of those stats with a little bit of a boost from chemistry, significant boost from chemistry even, will really, really make a difference, and he looks really good. And in fact, I've actually recently picked him up. And I may pick up a few more actually because he's like a unique player. You can't get someone like him in that position. So I think
there's quite a good chance he might rise.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's really strong. He's filling a role which no other players will for the Portuguese national teams and for Liga NOS teams. So I think he could be a really strong investment.
Yeah, definitely. And your last Portuguese?
Oh yeah, so my final Portuguese is Pereira, who is the right back. He looks like a really, really impressive card because he probably now becomes the best right back in Ligue 1. He has, on the card, he's got 4 stats above 80, pace, dribbling, defending and passing, solid enough physical, looks really good going forward with 84 dribbling, but he's still got the defensive stats to back that up. And he's got high work rate, which I think is underrated on a fullback, actually.
Yeah, yeah, get him just bombing up and down that wing. He's got great crossing as well, 84, and his short and long passing both above 80. Yeah, he looks lovely. He looks like a very, very strong card.
Yeah, yeah, and I'll probably pick him up because I'm using a team at the moment. Well, just building a team at the moment, which would utilise his skills.
His skills, absolutely. One last player to have a little chat about from the team of the week is my pick, Lukas Podolski. I mean, 89 shooting, 84 pace, 80 dribbling and 80 passing, along with I think almost 80 strength. He looks like a very, very nice card. Just a pity that he wasn't a central line player. Lots of online publications and team of the week predictions said he played down the middle. People were anticipating a cam card, just having flashbacks to when he used to be a striker in the Bundesliga with something mad like 87 pace back then. But I was dreaming of being able to recreate those days. And he stayed as a left mid. But I could imagine definitely slotting him in at left forward in a team and having him just playing off a big man, smashing the ball home with his left foot, because we all know how good that is.
Yeah, yeah. He's just such a good player. He got such a good shot. And it's just unfortunate that he's maybe lost a bit of the mobility. He still looks really, really strong. And he's obviously not going to be expensive, is he?
No, I think there's not really enough demand for players from the Turkish league, and he is German. People do make German teams, but I think you've got alternatives on the left side for Germany and in the Bundesliga. So hopefully he'll stay quite cheap, and he'll be someone who's not too hard to pick up to try out.
Yeah, it looks really good. So I mean, we've kind of gone through our picks, but there are of course three players who stand out in that team of the week, which are kind of the EA staple in terms of bringing in the pack openings. We've got Higuain, who's obviously a one to watch, so that looks quite interesting. Costa, who obviously, I don't know. He looks a bit of a tank, but he's not.
He's a high-rated Premier League player, but looking at his card stats, he's not actually. I mean, the 89 physical is nice. I'm sure he'd be a good target man, but I'm not sure if he's enough of what your typical ultimate team player looks for. I don't know if he's going to be bringing in the pack openings too much.
Yeah, true. Although I guess just because of his value will undoubtedly be fairly high, it's likely that he'll drive some pack openings.
Yeah, for sure.
And then Lloris, I guess, again, a keeper you wouldn't necessarily associate with smashing packs, but no. He still looks really strong at 89 overall.
89 overall, and I mean, 89 diving, 91 reflexes, 90 handling, can't really go wrong. He looks like a top keeper.
I mean, he'll be the... Well, I don't know. I think probably, yeah, better, probably the top Premier League goalkeeper. I mean, slightly better than De Gea now.
De Gea, potentially, yeah.
But yeah, you've also got Alderweireld as well, who looks quite good. But yeah, just as an aside, we might as well say now, because we've had a few Team of the Weeks, it's really nice to see that EA are giving a nice little boost to the lower-rated cards when they
receive them. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, two of the players we picked out, Jota and Embolo, both got a plus 5 overall boost, or possibly even plus 6 for Jota.
Yeah, and plus 6, yeah. And Pereira got a decent boost as well.
Yeah, Pereira plus 4, I think. It's really good. I mean, they did this years ago. Informs used to get huge boosts. But in recent years, you've been seeing kind of 77, 76-rated players get an inform and go up to 78 or 79 with pretty meagre stat boosts.
I think modest would be
the right word. Whereas now we're seeing some quite significant changes, and hopefully these players will stay cheap, but they'll just be so much better.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah, so that's really interesting. I'm looking forward to future Team of the Weeks, because there's always going to be those like lower rated players who've had a significant boost and won't be too expensive.
Absolutely. And it's time for Dynamite Discards, our pick of a couple of very cheap players who we've really enjoyed using this week. I've got a right back. Ben's got a striker. Do you want to kick us off?
Yeah. Well, a man that many people will know very well, despite the fact that he's, I don't know, not been the most prolific player ever, but Mauro Zárate is my Dynamite Discard. He has really, really solid all-round stats, sort of 80 pace, 85 dribbling, which is very strong for a striker. Yeah, solid shooting. And decent passing. But the real thing that I was so impressed with was his finesse shots. He has finesse shot tray, as you probably already guessed. And just the finishes that he made, just sliding it into the corners, was just so satisfying. I think using him to rotate him for Jovetic, he doesn't have the physicality, but he had that kind of ability to just place the ball into the corners when he didn't expect what you probably would bank another player to just roll it to the keeper's hands.
Yeah. I mean, and were you using the double tap finesse shots or the higher ones?
Yeah, double tap. And occasionally just no double tap on it, just a finesse shot, which also was quite effective. But yeah, he's really, really strong. He's obviously got 4-star skills as well, 4-star weak 5, I believe. So just really, really nice all-round card. And with a chemistry boost, something like Hunter, you literally get Aguero-like stats, because his pace, you know, is up in the high 90s. His shooting is then mid-80s, and he's got a really, really nice dribble on him already. So, really, really good.
No, I did use him for a couple of games as well, and I can absolutely concur. He's a really, really strong player and going for discard pretty much. My choice, he's a non-rare. He's a right-back, plays in the Bundesliga. He's German. It's Mitchell Weiser. He got himself a 74-rated team this season last year, and he was someone that I really wanted to try out this year. I was happy when I saw he got a gold card. And the reason for that is his 4-star skills. And having that on a right back is really, really useful if you're trying to unpick a defence. I find you don't overuse it, but you can catch people out. And particularly with the new sort of drag back exits, if you stand up your man, you can just get past someone and whip a cross in or play a through ball up to your right winger. And I mean, he's only 75 rated. His defending stats and physical stats aren't great, but he's got 81 pace, he's got 81 dribbling, and he's someone I would recommend to try out if you want to just have, I mean, add an extra dimension to your attacking play and get a solid right back in the Bundesliga for barely any coins.
Yeah, no, he looks really good. I had his silver team of the season last year.
Yeah.
And he was absolutely outstanding. So the fact that you can now get pretty much the same stats for like for like less than a thousand coins is fantastic.
I think, yeah. Perfect. And rounding that up, it's time to move on to Informed Impressions, our review of an Informed card we've really enjoyed using this week. And our first one for this year is Mario Balotelli. He's got pretty much everything I look for in a striker. He's tall, he's 6'2", he's got strength, I think 88 without any chem style. He's got very good finishing, enough pace, strong positioning, and his dribbling's pretty good too. I was really excited to try him out when I got him. So far, I would say a mix, mostly good. He's got a hat-trick the last game I played with him, but there have been a few times when he just hasn't felt quite as strong as I was expecting. I mean, Ben, you've had a couple of goes with him on my account. Yeah. What are your thoughts?
No, he was really interesting because he had very, very good hold-up play. He's obviously very strong, and his shooting was really, really good. So I think with the sniper you had on him, he had about, what was it, 99 finish?
Yeah, I think he gets exactly 99 finishing with the sniper boost.
Yeah, so it was, you know, noticeable in that sense. And in the air, he's really effective. But his dribbling didn't... Oh, it wasn't necessarily his dribbling, but his kind of pace slash dribbling, like, he wasn't able to get away from players as easily as I'd expect from someone like Balotelli. But that being said, you know, obviously sniper doesn't boost pace or physical, so maybe there was an element of that. But he was really, really good, and for 40k, which you wouldn't expect to go down at this point at all.
Yeah, really, I'm hoping that can be a card I can hold on to for several weeks, maybe even longer. Just have him sitting in my account and gain value. He's definitely one to pick up before his price starts to rise, which it probably will, unless of course he gets himself another inform. So I'll be keeping an eye on Nice results. And that just about brings us to the end. It's a goodbye from Ben.
Goodbye.
And goodbye from me. Join us again next Thursday for more tips, tricks, and in-depth chat.
We've been Foot Weekly. Thanks for listening.
Just a quick note, this podcast was released on Sunday so we could have a chat about Foot Champions. In future, we'll be getting it out on Thursday. See you then. Finally, here's a brief message from Ben.
Have you purchased a Premier League right back in the last 2 days? If so, you may have been missold Hector Bellerin. If this could be you, please get in contact, because I really need that 15k.